W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says 413 people were killed in Israeli airstrikes overnight. The bombing began after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ordered the strikes after Hamas refused Israeli demands to change the terms of the ceasefire. Retired General Doug Lute.
It is a vivid reminder of just how delicate these ceasefires are. And not only the ceasefire here, but the ceasefire that might be in the works, for example, in Ukraine.
Ukraine agreeing to a 30-day ceasefire, something President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin are expected to discuss when they speak by phone later this morning. A federal judge ordering the Justice Department to submit a sworn declaration describing what happened when a plane load of Venezuelan migrants was sent to El Salvador, even though the judge had ordered the Trump administration not to do it. The Federal Reserve kicking off its two-day meeting, interest rates expected to remain steady. This is ABC News. Cleanup continues across much of the eastern half of the country following that line of severe weather that spawned tornadoes, high winds, and wildfires in the plains. More than 40 people lost their lives. Some in the same areas are under red flag fire warnings again today. New development in the case of a University of Pittsburgh student who disappeared while on spring break.
The parents of Sudiksha Kunanki are now asking officials in the Dominican Republic to officially declare their daughter dead. She hasn't been seen for 12 days. Sources say her mother and father sent a letter to police acknowledging there's no evidence of foul play. We could learn today whether authorities will release Joshua Reby, the man believed to have last seen Kunanki on the beach. He says they were hit by a large wave.
ABC's Andrew Timbert. A midwife from the Houston area has been arrested and accused of providing illegal abortions in the state of Texas. That's a second-degree felony. President Trump ending Secret Service protection for former President Biden's two adult children, Hunter and Ashley. This is ABC News.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
The Todd Allbus Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks hit the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks begin a long road trip, playing five different teams out west over the next 10 days. Tonight, they face the Golden State Warriors. College basketball, while Wisconsin and Marquette get ready for March Madness later this week, the Badger football team's spring practices are underway in Madison. Head coach Luke Fickle talked about the team's offense with a new coordinator, a new quarterback, and a lot of new players.
Obviously, day one, I think most important thing is efficiency to what we're trying to do. Right? I mean, there's a lot of new offense. I mean that in people. I mean that in just, you know, making sure we understand how we got to do things together. I think we're a little bit further along than, you know, I've really kind of spent a lot of time in football the last month and a half, 2 months, with just some walkthroughs and things, not just training and things like that, but doing a lot of football. And that's going to be real important to us.
That's the Badgers football coach, Luke Fickle, with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died, and as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold, or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wava, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have a winter storm that's going to bring some heavy snow late tonight through Wednesday afternoon. We're talking 4 to 8 inches of accumulation with strong 30 to 40 mile per hour wind gusts creating blowing snow into Wednesday evening. Today, though, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bock.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Run away, run away. Join us.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, March 18th. Where are we at here now? 9 days until the Brewers season opener? It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app, watching us on YouTube or Facebook, listening later by podcast. We appreciate you starting your Tuesday right here. And I've got a question for you. Would your opinion of me change? Your opinion of Greg? Your opinion of the show? Would it change if we confessed to you that Congressman Derek Van Orden made it clear yesterday that he doesn't like us? Will you still be okay with us?
If you weren't Greg,
yes, and you are Greg Bock.
I am, yes. Greg Bock. Hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. Beautiful show. If I wasn't Greg Bock, my love, respect, and honor for you would go up 20-fold.
Ooh, 20-fold. 20-fold. Okay. Yeah, so we're gonna get into that at some point this morning. Tony's already busy on YouTube going, I hope today is gaslighting free. Well, you'll have to talk to the congressman about
that. We'll have to consult a dictionary first, get some sources.
Yeah. Okay, the brief thing is yesterday I mentioned Derek Van Orden trying to gaslight people about, you know, all the cuts that Elon Musk is making haven't done any damage whatsoever. And I called him out for gaslighting. And he puts up a post with a full link to the whole clip so everybody can watch the show,
yep,
and watch where we say it. And then he just puts above that, like, you don't even know what gaslighting means. And he attaches the Merriam-Webster definition of gaslighting and then calls me a clown. And you look at the definition, and I'm going to admit, I looked at it. I'm just like, am I missing something here?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it going, oh, my Lord. He is trying to gaslight people now about the definition of gaslighting.
First
guy is too much.
First of all, Dairy Vons, I just want to say thank you for the free advertising.
I mean, a lot of exposure.
Just all that exposure. But second of all, bubble. I looked it up in 3 different dictionaries. And you and yeah, okay, we'll talk about it further later, but just call me Tom because I'm just feeling petty today. What up?
Also coming up on the program today, we will talk more about what President Trump and Elon Musk are doing, because there's a new analysis out about its impact on individual states. And guess which state is at the top of the list of places that are going to get hurt by the retaliatory tariffs that are going to be put in place? Because these other countries, Canada, China, European Union, they're not doing the across-the-board tariffs, like, we're going to do this to all products from the U.S. They know how politics works here. They're targeting specific industries, specific places, swing states, red states, and Wisconsin's going to get hit the hardest. So we will talk a bit about that. Christina Lurie and Sherita Booker, two of my colleagues at Up North News, will be along talking about things that are in our daily newsletter and some of our more popular social media posts of the past week or so. So we'll have all of that. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be in with details on a forecast that is looking very sloppy for tomorrow for basically the northwestern third of the state. I mean, it's going to be wet everywhere, but in terms of snow and apparently heavy wet snow that's looking to fall with a winter storm watch that kicks into place early tomorrow morning. Precipitation starting late tonight. In fact, I do have Ms. Merlot's state forecast here. Let me pull that up for you, please. Winter storm watch early Wednesday morning until late at night for counties north of and including Trempealeau, Jackson, Clark, Taylor, Lincoln, Langlade, Forest, and Florence. So again, basically that northwestern third of the state. Rain will switch over to snow, causing some significant accumulations in the Northwoods. Power outages are possible. The forecast for today, partly cloudy and mild. Highs will be in the low 40s up north to the low 60s in the south, and an east wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Breezy tonight with light rain arriving, mixing to snow overnight. Lows tonight around 30 up north, upper 30s in the south, and a northeast wind at 15 to 20 miles an hour. Bus stop temperatures right now include, and it's a wide range, 33 in Lake Wissota, 23 in Hayward, 32 in Amory, Wausau's at 38, so is Wisconsin Rapids, La Crosse is 42, Green Bay 41, Madison 41, it's 45 in Milwaukee, and the warm spot in the state is at Radio Park in Racine, where Greg is, it's 47 there, it's 21 up in Superior, so again, a big range of temperatures before that next weather system moves in here. Brittany's forecast details coming up in just a little bit. Then we've got our weekday newsletter that Christina Lurie puts together. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. And she continues to mark Women's History Month with some notable women-centric moments in Wisconsin history. So again, sign up over at our website and get that Monday through Fridays, and then my Wisconsin politics newsletter on Sunday mornings. There is a note here in entertainment news about the new things that are streaming this week. For example, Wicked starts streaming on Peacock on Friday. Let's see. There is also Anora, the Best Picture winner, began streaming yesterday on the Hulu. And Sherry and I called up the Hulu last night, and we saw the thing for Anora, but that is not what we were there for. We moved right on to what I wanted to ask Mr. Bach about, and I did not arrange this ahead of time, so you're getting a cold, genuine reaction from him. But the new stand-up from Bill Burr dropped yesterday. And so we watched Bill Burr's new routine, The Drop Dead Years.
Yes.
And enjoyed it. And I didn't know if that was something you were looking forward to. I don't know if you've even met him in your comedy roamings. But, yes, that was last night's entertainment.
I have not met him in my comedy roamings. I am like a degree or two away from him. I've got friends who are friends with him. And I want to watch it because I feel like he's only gotten better with age. I feel like his opinions have gotten very interesting. And yes. I'm probably going to watch it tonight, actually. Bridget's out of town this evening for a meeting, so I'm going to sit back with the dog and watch some comedy. And, yeah, yes, I'm looking forward to it. I love Bill Burr now. Like, I was not the biggest fan of his back in the day.
I haven't always been, and it feels like he's now finding his groove, which is, and again, take this from my standpoint, you know, as a liberal, you look at him going, you want to be conservative, or you are, but you refuse to take yourself seriously. So you'll grouse about liberals, but you'll also grouse about conservatives. But I could also see conservatives watching him going, oh, you're just a Hollywood liberal. You're just trying to hide it by acting like a conservative. And my main point being is he takes neither extreme seriously and lampoons it mercilessly, so that no matter who you are, you're going to feel uncomfortable a little bit going, hey, wait a minute.
But I think the conversation for me where it gets interesting is because, you know, if you go to a lot of comedy shows, and I personally feel like, well, you know, like the people doing the best who could be considered conservative comedy are liberal women's, because they're consistently bashing the Liberal Party in a way that makes sense. And to watch him make fun of the liberal standpoints, liberals be like, yeah, that's right. We do that. That's right. But conservatives, when he makes fun of conservative, peccadillos and whatnot, they get Bill Burgess. Like you said, he's a Hollywood elite. Like, no, man, he's just a guy who stands on stage and makes fun of all of us. So,
yeah,
have a better sense of humor about yourself, man.
That's the perfect point. You have to have a better sense of humor about yourself. And I have seen now Bill Burr talked about being in his 50s now. I think he said 54 or something like that. And we have seen no shortage of men who have been moderate for most of their lives or apolitical. And then they get a little bit older and they just veer way off to the right. Yeah. And Bill Burr is what I wish a lot of these guys had become instead, where it's like, yeah, I definitely think we've gone too far with this PC stuff. But on the other hand, and then he'll rip into, conservative extremism too, and just have this balanced view of, he does not want to put up with a lot of the things that get people fired up like 24/7. And we've talked about that on this program. It's okay to care.
Yeah.
It's okay to watch a newscast now and then and to not be completely ignorant to what's going on around you. But also, if you whip yourself up into a frenzy for things that don't directly involve you, you're going to wear yourself out and not be able to take care of the people who actually need care. And there are a lot of those folks out there right now.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And Bill Burr is just, he's that splash of cold water saying, look, you're probably okay. So take it down a notch.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're gaslighting a congressman. Then, you're just a terrible, terrible person.
I mean, I don't feel like we were gaslighting anybody. I feel like we were just,
That's the point. We weren't. He, on the other hand, he's already forgotten all this by now.
Yeah.
You know how I know this? Because I counted before the show. And on Twitter alone, he tweeted 34 times yesterday.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even about us. I think that was on Facebook. So he's posting on different posts on Facebook. Does he not have a job?
I think
we pay him to do something.
We pay him very handsomely.
Other than to call people clowns and to, again, basically, look, he doesn't like the word gaslight. Lie. Basically lie about the state of things that are happening right now. And not standing up. Look, you can agree with President Trump on 99 other things. But if you are in Derek Van Orden's shoes as a former Navy SEAL and everything else that you say about the military, if you can't find some daylight between you and Donald Trump enough to criticize him, not to say, oh, if it's bad, I'll say something. No. Things are bad. Say it. Say it, Derek.
Yeah.
Say it. If there's no daylight between you and Donald Trump on what he's doing to veterans, then it's small wonder that veterans think that you have completely turned your back on them. Sorry, Congressman. That'll probably draw another post. But we get asked by Alicia, is Derek Van Orden trying to surpass Trump on the number of tweets? No, I think Derek actually holds that record. Trump will put up, a couple of things late at night, and, they're ridiculous. Like, oh, all Joe Biden's pardons are null and void. No, it doesn't work like that. Derek just is like going at the keyboard all the time. I got to insult this person. I got to answer that person. And we, this little show here, are among his newest friends.
This clown show.
Thank you, Congressman. We appreciate that. We will look at more of the news headlines of the day coming up on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, March 18th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Earl Ingram.
Today we are seeing the largest number of humanitarian emergencies since after World War II. We should be expanding our life-saving aid programs, not shutting them down during this time of crisis. I don't care where they come from. They are human beings. We weren't even having this conversation before 7 weeks ago, before Donald Trump took office, before a monster took office.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Now let's visit with Sherita Booker, social media manager here at Up North News. Sherita, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you again. Been a little bit, so happy to have you back on the show here as we look at some of the posts that you've been working on posting. That makes sense. The posts you've been posting. Sure. That people are commenting about in the comment section. We're just going to be redundant and repetitive all the way through this segment. Let's start with one that's several days old now. But again, we're telling you the ones that get a lot of engagement. And Bernie Sanders is always going to get a lot of engagement when he shows up in Wisconsin and talks to some pretty large crowds, Sherita. So tell us about the post and reaction to it.
So Bernie Sanders visited Altoona recently for his Fighting Oligarchy tour, which is a resistance to Donald Trump's second presidency. And there was a crowd of around 2,600 people. And here's something he told them. He said, "We are here today because under Trump, our nation is facing a series of crises, unprecedented in our modern history. And what we do now in the coming days, in the coming weeks, and in the coming months will not only impact the lives of our kids, the lives of our grandchildren, and the very well-being of the planet in terms of climate. If there has ever been a time in modern history of our country to stand up and fight back, now is the time." And that post had more than 2,000 likes on Facebook. Audrey said, "I was there. It was incredible. It's nice seeing a politician who is for the people." And Peg said, "Thank you, Bernie. You are an inspiration, and you bring us together in hope that we can save our country for our grandchildren, children, and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You are a blessing."
And we're not going to, of course, sugarcoat the fact that there were plenty of comments on there as well from people who are not fans of the Vermont senator. So when we say a post gets a lot of engagement, It isn't all positive, not by any stretch of the imagination here, but there is no denying the large crowds, not only in Altoona, but the night before in Kenosha, as he continues to go into Republican congressional districts, especially since a lot of Republican members of Congress won't do town halls. So like he said, came all the way from Vermont to do a town hall because your member of Congress will not. And so hence the big crowds. And in a little bit, we'll talk to Christina Lori about the cutbacks that these Republicans are making and the mental health toll that it's taking on folks as well. A sad story to talk about next. And I'm going to have to edit out that cough. A sad story to talk about next, and that, of course, is the passing of one of the landmark players in Milwaukee Bucks history, Sherita.
Yeah, so Junior Bridgman, who played 10 seasons with the Bucks in the 70s and 80s, passed away last week at the age of 71. He landed in Milwaukee as part of the landmark 1975 trade that sent Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the Lakers. And after his NBA career, Bridgman became a business owner, and he invested in Chili's and Wendy's. So he had 450 of those restaurants in 20 different states until 2016. And that post had a lot of engagement as well. Daniel said, great sixth man in hoops, greater man in life. And then we also had a lot of people commenting RIP.
Absolutely. And one here notes, Brian was the name, said that Junior was one of his favorites as a fan and as a boy, but was also a big fan of his business acumen once he got older and how he gave back to others. And I never get tired of these posts because, again, people will spend their money however they wish. Some people have more money than anyone else and could probably fund a cure for cancer if they want to. And instead, they're tearing down the federal government. Others, like Junior Bridgman, consistently gave back to others from his wealth. And it's one of the many reasons why he is so highly regarded in Louisville and in Milwaukee as well, where he owned a 10% share of the Milwaukee Bucks before his passing. Let's end on a lighter note. And my goodness, last year we talked so much about Top Chef. And of course it was, you know, because Chef Dan Jacobs was part of the show. And so, you know, it kind of atypical to have a Wisconsin chef on there. The show was being held in Milwaukee that year. This next time around, it's going to be up in Canada, but there's still going to be a bit of a local tie, Sharita.
Yep. So we have Kat Turner now, who grew up in Sturgeon Bay and went to Marquette University. And she's competing as one of the 15 top chefs battling it out for season 22, which you said is in Canada. And if she wins, she takes home a prize of $500,000. Kat comes from a well-known Wisconsin family. Her grandpa, Patrick E. Hagerty, co-founded Texas Instruments and also owned Palmer Johnson Yachts. And if you've ever been to Marquette's Hagerty Museum of Art, yeah, that's named after her grandparents. And Top Chef premiered on March 13th, and you can catch it on Thursdays on Bravo or the following day on Peacock. And in the comments, Jenny Feitz said, this is so exciting. I actually coached Catherine back in the 80s while she was on the swim team in Sturgeon Bay. I adored her mom and her grandmother. Best wishes, Kat. And we also had many other comments wishing her the best of luck.
And it looks like she was fine. She was not eliminated in the first round. The second episode airs day after tomorrow, and then they will air consecutively for at least the next few weeks here on March 27th and April 3rd and April 10th. And we wish her all the best in getting through that. I'm sure Sharita Booker will see more posts about Top Chef and about Kat Turner as we move through the coming weeks here. Find everything she's doing over at UpNorthNewsWI.com and UpNorthNewsWI on all the favorite social platforms. Sharita, great to talk to you. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
Spoiler alert, Pat didn't edit out that cough. Oh, well, not everything on the to-do list gets done right away. There are 49 other states that are going to be impacted less than Wisconsin by Donald Trump's trade wars. You can find that story at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, where I write up the results of an analysis by the New York Times that looks at the retaliatory tariffs coming from Canada, China, the European Union, all designed to hit specific industries and basically specific swing states in the country. When you look at those industries that are going to be impacted by retaliatory tariffs, and you look at the number of jobs, the share of the workforce in each state affected by that, the other 49 states will have anywhere from 1 to 8% of their labor force working in industries that are getting hit by retaliatory tariffs. In Wisconsin, it's nearly 10%. And if you look at the map, I mean, you've got all these red counties. Price County, 20% of the workforce is going to be impacted. Sheboygan County, 23%. In Taylor County, 25%. In Trempealeau County, 30% of the jobs impacted by these retaliatory tariffs. And we'll see if Trump holds on to his support in those areas when the rubber hits the road. Christina Lorre's next. You're up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
a little sigh of relief for our pork producers. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning, this National Agriculture Day. It came over the weekend. Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, says they learned over the weekend that the processing plants that are registered to export into China finally were updated. The bad news, according to Hallstrom, though, is that beef exporters are still waiting.
We do not have any update or any word on the status of the 390 beef facilities with the March 16th expiration. And there was one plant from mid-February as well. Their registrations have not been updated by GAC. So for the time being anyway, these plants can only ship to China with product that was produced prior to March 16th. We're very appreciative of all the support and help from USDA and USTR, and we're hoping to hear some feedback soon on the status of these beef plant registrations.
Dan Hallstrom, president of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, GAC stands for China's General Administration of Customs. He says this has been a bit of a wake-up call for all of the meat processing industry. He said, well, everybody's focused in on tariffs. He said it's also important to recognize there are non-tariff trade barriers that can be just as impactful, if not more. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, well, the grain trade's holding on. Dairy continues to slip. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
With the push of a button, you could save lives and the livelihood of others in your area. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on the sky this season. You can help by taking real-time weather observations on your phone and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Volunteer weather observers play an important role in tracking and relaying vital weather information. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
In the early morning hours of a Tuesday, right now, our December corn's unchanged at 454. November soybeans are up 2 at 1021. The July wheat, 3.5 higher right now at 588. The April Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up a penny at 1717, but May closed 43 cents lower at 1730 a hundredweight. I'm PM Yankee.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a winter storm that's going to bring some heavy snow late tonight through Wednesday afternoon. We're talking 4 to 8 inches of accumulation with strong 30 to 40 mile per hour wind gusts creating blowing snow into Wednesday evening. Today, though, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who is hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Up North News creator and editor Christina Laurie. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss the NCAA tournament. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey, welcome. welcome back on this Tuesday morning. It is time for The Uplift, our weekly visit with Christina Lori, who puts together our daily newsletter and so many of the stories you see on social media about life in Wisconsin, people helping people, sports, food, you name it. Christina, good morning. Can I assume you did not go out on a Monday night for St. Patrick's Day?
You know, I'd never done that in my life before, and I figured, why start now?
Never? I just thought that was like a rite of passage in Chicago that everybody had to go out for St. Patty's.
No, I have seen the Green River, though. Have you?
Just video, not in person. I have a tough time believing that that can actually be done safely. So it always makes me a little uncomfortable to see it. But you're the one that lived there, so maybe you have more faith in the green dye than I do.
Yeah, or maybe I'm more gullible, but I believe all the stories. They, you know, it was kind of the routine story where they talk about how they use environmentally friendly dye that is completely safe. And, you know, Lake Michigan, I don't think that they would want to mess with the drinking water, because the Chicago River does flow into Lake Michigan, which has notoriously clean water.
Yeah.
So I'm choosing to believe them.
Same here. I just it still feels a little
awkward.
It does look
weird, but yeah. I would just be, here's my thing. I bet a lot of people in Wisconsin drank green beer last night. If you drank green beer and were an anti-COVID vaxxer, you have some soul searching to do, because the one is CDC approved and one is definitely not. So your argument does not hold any water anymore.
That is a very good point. And it reminds me that, hard to believe we're at the 5-year anniversary, but it was St. Patrick's Day in 2020. A lot of folks were getting set to go out for the night, and that's when the order came down to shut it down, that COVID had come to Wisconsin and had come in such a number that it was the beginning of shutting things down, bars, restaurants, so many things. Now, obviously, hindsight is 2020, so we're not going to judge these things. We're just simply talking about the memories of that week back in 2020 when, I mean, Christina, you never knew this. Up North News actually had a newsroom in Madison before we became, an all work from home company because of COVID. What do you remember about, those days when COVID really first came on the scene?
The day before the world shut down, my uncle and my grandpa my uncle was visiting a customer and my grandpa went with for a road trip. So they took me out to a restaurant, and that was the last restaurant that I set foot in for the next 2 years.
Just crazy. I mean, just such a time. And let's not forget what a scary time it was. But again, all these years later, we've made a lot of progress. We lost a lot of people, but we made progress to the point where I'm sure a lot of people went out and had a good time last night. let's talk for a moment here about of the many stories that you've worked on. There was one that certainly made a connection with me, and it was about ways that people had been showing their support for Ukraine. And I hold up for the social media camera here my candle from the Door County Candle Company with the blue and yellow or blue and gold colors of the flag of Ukraine. But Christina, just when I first heard from you about that way to show your support for Ukraine, but of course I couldn't just stop there. So I also have from Door County their warm apple pie candle. And I have here one called Summer Rain. And this is my public service announcement. You should not have three very different candles open all at once, because it's very fragrant in here right now in a very mixed way. I should have just stuck with the Ukrainian one as one small way to show support, Christina.
I was going to say, how big is your house?
Yeah, well, these are just small candles, but I've got them all right here by my keyboard, and I'm quickly capping them again because, again, three at once, a little too much.
You're going to start smelling like the Inky Candle Store.
That's right.
You feel like you're going to get knocked out. Yes. Yeah. But if anybody is in the market for a candle, it does not sound like you are anymore, Pat, but you can order from Door County Candle Company. They ship everywhere. And the owner is from Ukraine. Her name is Christiana. She's owned the candle company for almost a decade now. And so when this war started now 3 years ago, she decided that she wanted to do whatever she could in her small capacity to raise some money for families living back in Ukraine, since she was born there and had family members still there. So she decided to start selling 16-ounce vanilla-scented blue and yellow candles, like the one you just held up, to raise money for Raise 'Em for Ukraine. It's a nonprofit that provides on-the-ground support for families affected. So to be clear, this money is not going to war efforts. It's going to peace efforts to try to keep these innocent people safe, make sure they have enough food, make sure they have access to the health care that they need and survive. They didn't ask for this. So her initial goal was just to sell 30 and $10, all of the proceeds. It takes $20, fun fact, to make one of those candles. $10 is proceeds. All of that goes to charity. And over the past 3 years, she's raised more than $1 million.
What?
She's not slowing down anytime soon, just from candles. It's absolutely incredible. And the even more impressive part about this is that her company now has a $10 million goal over the next 10 years. So they want to, you know, continue on the pace of $1 million a year. And now they're not just raising money for Ukraine, although that is kind of the most pressing issue right now, of course. They've also made a special edition candle for the wildfire victims in Los Angeles. They've sent money to the fire that happened a few years back in Hawaii. That was absolutely devastating. They raise it for a bunch of different causes. They have a powerful candle that's for cancer research. So they have, if you go visit their website, they have an entire line of what they're calling fundraising candles. You can find them all there. It just is a great way to do multiple good things. Support a local Wisconsin business, someone who's personally going through a really tough time having family in Ukraine, and then obviously supporting the victims of a war that they didn't ask for or want to be a part of.
I mean, this is just really something to hear that that's the dollar amount. And you just never know where this kind of help will come from, you know, customers to a candle store. And I was, you know, this was last year sometime when I was there, and it's a lovely shop, just such a wide variety of products out there. Except I'm only now realizing, Christina, that every one of them has kind of a cork lid on top. And on each one is, it's kind of looks like it's a little, it's got a smear of some sort on there. And I thought maybe it was candle wax. I thought maybe it was part of the candle making process, and they just, you know, put a little candle wax on top or something. I don't know. It now occurs to me, I'm looking at, they're all the same. It's the outline of Door County, just the little finger peninsula sticking out on top of that. So I feel smarter, but wouldn't have done that if I didn't have these three candles lined up right in front of me. Making things as aromatic as they've ever been in this office. So
that's really funny. And this is a complete tangent, but that reminds me of, remember back in the day when ripped jeans first got on the scene?
Yes.
I didn't get the memo when I was shopping, and I was shopping with my grandma, and we were looking for just regular jeans. And she was like holding them up and going, "It's so weird. They're all ripped. Do they know this?" And we're all ripped in the same place. So.
And I remember, you know, the first time they said, "Oh no, they're distressed. They're distressed jeans." And I mean, I just laughed it off. And what was it? Last year sometime, for the first time ever, I bought a pair of distressed jeans because I happen to like the way that they look. But there's always a part of me that imagines, yes, that my grandmother is seeing me in those jeans and going, Oh, Patrick, how could you do that? Because they used to patch up our jeans when they'd rip. Now it's like, nope, you don't patch them. They're distressed. It's how they're supposed to look. Oh, of all the many things that have been going on lately, especially with the new administration here, there's been a lot of battles here. Nothing like what's going on in Ukraine. But gosh, sometimes it feels like there's a political war going on here, and that a lot of people are caught in the middle. These cuts that have been made have been pointed out by many folks, not the least among them Senator Tammy Baldwin, talking about how the 988 Veterans Crisis Line, how employees there, you know, faced not knowing if they'd be able to keep the line staffed. And, you know, this has really taken a toll on a lot of people, what the president and what his co-president have been putting the country through.
You're absolutely right. And the biggest issue is that it's not even just that the cuts are happening, it's how they are happening. It doesn't have to be done this way. Nobody's arguing that there isn't bloat within the federal government and we need to cut some of these jobs. But there's no reason that you need to give employees at USAID, for example, only 15 minutes notice that they're fired and then they have to go back in and, you know, get all their stuff. That happened last week. And then luckily, it, you know, my job here is always to look for the good. So the positive of this was that a bunch of strangers lined up outside USAID headquarters with signs saying, thank you, you know, you didn't deserve this. We appreciate you. And that's great. But I think it's also important to take a step back and just realize the ripple effects that this is going to have for a long time. When people lose their job, their odds of dying by suicide increase by more than 5 times. So, I mean, we're already seeing it happening, unfortunately, across the country.
Yes.
And I'm getting a lot of messages from federal workers who are working remotely or have been here in Wisconsin who were laid off. And they're just really, they're looking for any sort of work. They didn't deserve to be laid off. And it's just so chaotic and terrible the way that it's happening.
Right. I mean, these are people who've quite literally have been serving their country and being unceremoniously dumped by somebody that arguably is not currently serving the country. And so many people here thought, well, okay, if we're going to go after excess spending, there are ways to go about doing it. But there are others who say, well, we've just got to tear it all down. And, you know, so what if all these people get fired? Well, it does have an impact. It has a real human toll that it's taking. And, you know, it puts a challenge on the rest of us to try not to exacerbate it too much, to try to be there for each other. Because what do we always say, Christina? You never really know what somebody else is going through.
Yes, to quote my favorite novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, Atticus, you never really know someone until you climb into their skin and walk around for a little bit. And I really think that's at the crux of all of this. The thing that I found most disappointing, and this isn't just in this instance of firing workers, it's really, I think, the reason that the entire MAGA movement took off, is that there's a giant section of people that think that if life was hard for them, it should be hard for others as well. So, you know, if they had to do things a certain way, they couldn't work from home up until 5 years ago, nobody should be able to work from home. If they had to go through the immigration process the long and tedious way, it should be long and tedious for no reason for absolutely everyone else. And I'm from a different school of belief that I would like to make the world an easier, better place for future generations. So if something was hard for me, I'd love to see it be easier for someone else.
Yeah, and I think that's a very healthy change of mindset, but one that clearly is working up a lot of resistance. Well, as we all look out for one another, one of the things that's going to help is the coming of spring. First day of spring is coming up here in just a few days, and then the Brewers season opener later next week. I mean, we're only 9 days away now from the Brewers season opener. I suppose we going to have to talk about the White Sox as well once this gets going?
I don't know. It's a touchy subject, Pat. I'm going all in on my Brewers fandom.
I was going to say, we may have finally lured her over, folks. We may finally be there. Christina Laurie, thank you so much. We will be there if necessary for the bonfire of the White Sox, swag, and get you all decked out in new Brewers gear. But we'll cross that bridge once the season starts next week. Have a great day.
Well, you know, I do have a Jose Quintana vintage White Sox bobblehead.
Oh.
I could put a little Brewers cap on him now.
Actually, you really should. That's going to make a great social media post. That sounds perfect. Thank you, Christina. Talk to you later.
Bye, Pat.
Remember to get the newsletter, weekdays by Christina, on the weekend by me. You can sign up at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. When we come back, Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 should be along for today's history lesson next here up north. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down, get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This would be Wilson Pickett. Born this day in 1941, passed away in 2006 within the midnight hour. Kicking off today's history lesson for this March 18th. Also kicking off the history lesson, Daniel Hagan from WJFW, Newswatch 12th and Rhinelander. And this email, "Hi Pat, was thinking I could still make it to the show, but the Wi-Fi on this island just isn't stable enough. See you next week, Dan." I checked the weather on his island. It's 76 right now on the way to 86. Dan, I'm heartbroken for you, buddy. Oh, wait, the Wi-Fi is too unstable for him to listen over the app as well, so he's not hearing this. So, but we'll see him next week.
I knew we couldn't trust Dan Hagan of Channel 12, 13?
12, I was 13.
13, yeah.
He's 12 and right.
Take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Dan, have a great time, safe travels, and we will see you again soon. Last week, we had the birthday for Jerry of Ben and Jerry's. Today, it's Ben.
Huh.
Ben Cohen is 74 years old. Well, they were childhood friends. Yeah. So I suppose they were in that same age range. Irene Caro was born this day in 1959. Irene Cara, who had this from Fame, and also, of course, Flashdance, the theme from that, passed away in 2022. The late Charlie Pride was born this day in 1934.
I love this song. I love Charlie Pride. I miss him every day.
Charlie passed away in 2020. He was born on a cotton farm in Sledge, Mississippi.
Yep.
And had multiple country chart toppers, including Kiss an Angel Good Morning. Bonnie Blair, the pride of West Allis, is 61 today. 5 gold medals, 3 world titles in speed skating.
What have you done today?
Yeah. Not that. Happy birthday, Bonnie Blair. Happy birthday to Vanessa Williams, the singer and former Miss America, is 62 years old today.
God, I haven't heard this song in a long time.
Uh-huh. You know, You got to love when little kids can't quite get a word quite right, and it's just adorable.
Yes.
Like, you know, one of my daughters, a grilled cheese sandwich was like a grilled cheese sandwich. Nail polish was Paul Nailish. I had a nephew who loved this movie, but all the time was saying, play Pocahontas instead of Pocahontas. So, singing from Pocahontas is Vanessa Williams, 62 today. Queen Latifah, born Dana Owens in Newark, New Jersey, is 55 today. Maroon 5 singer Adam Levine is 46 today. This is International Teach Music Week. Trying to figure if I guess if he's on The Voice and he kind of does a little music mentoring, so I guess that applies to him. The number one song this day in 1967 was by the Beatles.
I love this song.
I do too. Any reason to play it works. Let's see. On this day in 1978, the number one song was Night Fever by the Bee Gees. And it stayed in the number one slot for 8 weeks, becoming the longest-running number one song of 1978. Let's see. There were more national weeks I missed yesterday. This is National Fragrance Week, which I believe I properly celebrated in that last segment, having three candles open at once. do not recommend. Happy Introverts Day, all you introverts. Run out into the street and celebrate. They won't, trust me. No. This is Pediatric Nurse Practitioners Day. This is Biodiesel Day. And that was something I'd worked on in the legislature. There was, you know, how do biodiesel can be made here in Wisconsin rather easily. And it was just fun watching the science grow on these things, watching the research that is done here. Again, not to get too editorial in the history segment, but when you see funds cut for research for things that could actually increase our energy independence, it's just a real shame. Today is Forgive Mom and Dad Day.
Okay.
Today is National Agriculture Day.
Nice.
Farmers. Global Recycling Day. This is National Sloppy Joe Day. So do you have anything special that has to happen with your sloppy joes? I mean, for some folks, it's just, you know, ground beef and maybe some chopped up onions and, you know, either tomato soup or tomato paste or something.
Tomato paste. I also like to throw a little seasoning in there, just a little more seasoning. And then I make sure I don't use the typical hamburger bun. I'll use maybe like a thicker one, and then I'll scoop it out so that way the sloppy won't get so sloppy and... Still a little carrying case.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's World Social Work Day, and it is Transit Driver Appreciation Today. Let me do that again. Transit Driver Appreciation Day today. So nice. When you get on the bus today, say thank you to that transit driver taking care of that. Alicia notes, what have I done today? I've cleaned 8 bathrooms so far today. And about Introverts Day, she says, nope. It's this Introvert's Day to recover from all the peopling I did yesterday. That makes sense.
I didn't especially people at all.
You didn't people? No, you probably didn't.
No,
I'm sit here.
I'm an introvert myself. I know it sounds weird to say, but I don't people. I'm not a people guy. I people when I need to people, and then I'm home. I love being home.
I don't know. I'm sure I'm missing the proper word to describe me. I'm not an extrovert. I'm very much an introvert until I get to know you. As soon as I know somebody, I'm like, oh, very outgoing. But it's that first step of meeting somebody new where I am like as introverted as it gets. What's the word? Weird. I think the word is just weird that we're looking for. Much more ahead in the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Hopefully, your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas appears to be over. Israel pounding parts of Gaza with airstrikes overnight. That's a scene near a hospital after the attacks. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says more than 400 Palestinians were killed. Israel says Hamas did not agree to extend the terms of the first phase of the ceasefire as Israel wanted. President Trump will talk with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the phone this morning about a possible ceasefire in Ukraine. The Fed kicks off its two-day meeting today.
The Federal Reserve is expected to hold interest rates steady at around 4.5%, despite encouraging news on inflation and amid concerns tariffs could cause a recession. The Fed had lowered interest rates in 2024, though signaled a slowdown in rate cuts this year. After Wednesday, the Fed's next chance to change interest rates will be early May. Christiane Cordero, ABC News, Washington.
Today, President Trump will release the entire government file related to the assassination of JFK. This is ABC News. Jury selection.